This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
Duh.
Finally, after 6 months
sabbatical, we're
I
back.
Know. Crazy schedules.
Last week was kind of fucking crazy. I'm glad we pushed. Even though I was the only one ready to go.
Yes.
What kind of fucking weird week is that?
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy. So,
see, that's what happens. Like, you guys push it. So I'm pushing all my shit I gotta get done for the week. I'm like, what the fuck?
And then you're like,
he's still golfing or disc golfing or was that?
I mean, I did go. Me and Allie went last weekend. We both played like ass, but it was fun. It was actually ridiculously warm too.
Oh yeah, this weekend was hot. Mm-hmm.
I haven't done any of the tournaments. I kind of quit doing that because they started way earlier now. So they have a little more sun. And I'm like, I'm not going to try to make that. That's just ridiculous. It's like at 4 o'clock. Right when I get off work, I'm like, this is pointless.
Yeah.
So you don't even get a chance to relax that. You need like a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, just some downtime, some down minutes. Yeah.
I'm okay. I'd rather not waste my $10 of getting second to last.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah.
So do the top guys actually get money?
Yeah, they, I don't remember. They get like a percentage of everybody's money that was pooled in.
Oh, okay.
So I think like the top guy gets 60% and then the second place gets like, I don't know, his money back in a disc. It's a decent payout. I mean, honestly, for a league like that, I'd rather just get my money back.
No, that's fair. I mean,
well, you went and tried it, found out you sucked, and now it's time to go practice.
Exactly. That's all. I'm going to go next year. Quite a
bit. It's a win. Really? You paid for information.
Yeah. I'll take it as that practice of knowing how bad I am, how better they are, and what I need to improve on, which is everything.
Awesome. He'll become the Ronnie Coleman of disc golf.
Yeah, right. No, probably not.
Kind of work your way up and go from ninth to winning.
What's,
I can do that in the local league. I'll be happy.
What was the magazine in Dodgeball? That everybody, the weird sports or something. There was like a.
You're talking about the one that the guy in the wheelchair was on?
Yeah, that Dodgeball movie. Because they kept referring to like it's all the top guys from abstract sports or something.
Oh, ESPN The Ocho?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was ESPN 8.
That's
no,
what
they actually have that now. They actually have that now.
It's oh, do they?
Thing. Yes.
It's a real thing.
I mean, shit, they have bags on ESPN now.
Well,
that's one thing I don't understand. There are some things on ESPN. They have a tag on ESPN now.
Yeah, I've seen that where it's like a bit bigger than the size. Like, it's like tag? Maybe the. Yeah. But it's like parkour, so it's like jungle gym.
Oh, okay.
Think old school jungle gym.
And you're running through it, tagging. Okay.
And you're running through it.
I
and
thought
it's
it
like
was just
maybe
a group of people running around playing tag. That at least had some competition to it. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's not just a straight run around. Well, it's like diving all over the place. So.
X Games and Nitro Circus. And there's something else out there. They made all these other sports almost more popular than actual sports.
Oh, personally, I don't know if I've probably talked about this, but the older I get, the more it seems like I gravitate towards these sports that you got one guy that's got to perform. It's not like a whole team dynamic because then you kind of root for everybody. You just want to see people do the craziest shit.
Yeah.
Because I've always loved the X Games and was like, all right, when Travis Pastrana gets up, we're going to see something we've never seen before. And they can push the fucking limits with like a football game. What are they going to push? I mean, you might get a record setting game, but it's like the same game as last time, but just different way. This is just totally out of the fucking box. Like when Travis Pastrana did the 360, like what the fuck?
See, and they're always doing this stuff with Nitro Circus. Hell, I like watching them trying to do new stuff when they're out at the ranch and stuff. Oh, yeah. His little ranch. It's like, did he just is that's humanly possible? And they caught it on video. And it's like, you know, they have more world first than anybody just because they keep pushing the envelope. And the guys are nuts. It's I'm glad I'm watching you. I think that's cool. No, I don't want to go break all my bones in my body to do stuff like that. But I'm glad you're willing to.
What is it? I think the guy's name is Ryan Willie. He's an Aussie, which makes sense why the guy's out of his fucking mind. But he became pro riding scooter. But he's one of the best BMX riders. Like, he came up, what was it? He did the flip with the bike while he's just in the air. He's just like still in the air and he flips the bike and catches it and rides it. Like, who the fuck thinks of this shit?
More importantly, puts in the time to do it and go, okay, if I, because how many times has any of those dudes totally fucked up?
Oh, yeah. Well, but you got
to be able to get back on.
Crush their nuts just to go, I think I got it.
Well, but that's one of those kind of neat things. So they're in that bubble.
Oh, yeah. Evil Knievel.
All those guys, all their friends, everybody's. Oh, that was pretty cool. Do you think you could turn it one more time? What? Or a half? Can you do a half more? You know, let's spin the bike.
Yeah, you did 360.
Times.
Can you do it? Yeah, 720. Yeah,
can you spin a four? Well, I don't know. How about five? You know, and they just feed off each other doing crazy stuff. And it's like, oh, I don't think you can run.
Or it's a hold my beer thing where it's like, oh, that's cute that you got that high.
But
and then some dude's going to go even higher.
Yeah. You know, and you're in that bubble. You take someone like us and put us into that bubble. We probably could do some crazy stuff for us just because you got all that energy of, hey, let's do that. I mean, we've all done
risk taking and
so you're telling me it's possible.
The barbarian games.
Yeah, ours are going to be more grounded. We'll come up with some crazy stuff, but I don't really want to leave the earth. Unless go skydiving or something.
Wasn't it Pastrana that like he jumped something and then just like crashed his bike?
Oh, multiple
and then rebuilt it and then did the thing and then jumped it off out into like the San Francisco Bay or something like that.
I'll take yes because that guy has so many things he's ever done. Yeah. I remember I was in middle school and I watched him. What was it? He jumped the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
Yeah, in a rally car. It was 20 years ago, and now he's still doing shit like that.
I thought he did it on his bike first.
He did it on a rally car because he
did it on a scooter, a Razor scooter. First.
He did a nosy the whole way down. Yeah, he left motocross to go do rally cars for a long time.
Yeah, he did. But I thought he jumped it first with the motorcycle. I could be wrong. It's been a while. Don't remember. It's just all the crazy stuff they've done. He's redone a lot of Evil Knievel stunts just because.
Evil Knievel with skill.
Yeah.
And technology, right? It's like, because Evil Knievel was just taking a straight Harley,
stripping it down,
heavy fucking bike anyway. Even stripped down, it still weighs a ton. It's like, yep, I can jump this. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, he backflipped into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What the hell was the jump that he did?
I thought he jumped his motorcycle. Yeah, well, I mean, you see his number all over the place, so it's hard to remember. He's done so much. It's like, what hasn't he done at this point?
Oh, he jumped a rally car 269 feet.
Still, that's...
It's a world record. And he won Pikes Peak in a rally car. Mm-hmm. Race up Pikes Peak. That would be something I'd like to go see sometime, them racing up there. Because that's just stupid fast. And it's like...
All ass as fast as you can on a dirt road as you go up a mountain.
It's like, it's crazy. All right. We got a couple would you rathers here from CJ. I'm just throwing that up. Let's see. Would you rather give up your passion for your significant other or give up your significant other for your passion? Can I look at this in retrospect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of hoping so, because that's cheating for both of you.
In retrospect, I'd have given up the significant other for my passion, and I'd have been much happier. Now, I was the guy that said, and unfortunately passed before, it was like one of those things. It's like, if you have to make me choose between me and my dog, I'll take the dog. That was before I was ever even married. I was like, yeah, if I have it out between the two of you, the dog wins. He's been with me longer.
That was kind of a discussion Ian Allie had whenever we got Aries. Like, he's my dog. I don't care. I paid for him. If anything goes wrong, I'm taking him, and I don't give a fuck. I was just making sure. I'm like, there's few things that I really care about. That's one.
She'd have to be pretty significant to give up the passion end of things.
Well, I saw a post by Hunter, and I mean, not Hunter. Jesus, Zach.
He's having flashbacks.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, anyways, it's all right.
He was talking about Tom Brady getting a divorce because he's still playing football. I saw the post, and I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm like, so you're telling him he should give up his passion to stay with his wife. His wife shouldn't be with him because he's doing his passion. I'm sorry. I know that he worded it different, but I saw it like that. And I'm like, you know, if any man had to choose between the two, I'd rather live out my dreams. Honestly, doing it.
Well, it sounds like, here's the big thing and why I would say go with the passion, because usually somewhere along the line comes an ultimatum. You either do that, or you either take me, or you do that. You know, there's no balance in there. It's an ultimatum. And as soon as you give into one ultimatum, you end up giving into more ultimatums until some point you got to put your foot down. And by the time you put your foot down, say, I'm not giving in anymore. Now it's too late in a relationship status. It's fallen apart and you've lost all credibility. It's like, no. Kevin Costner, not my favorite actor, but I've been watching some clips of that show Yellowstone. It looks kind of interesting or whatever, but I was reading something up because it's like, that's the first thing I've seen Costner in a while. And I'm like, how old is he getting or whatever? But in one of his little the excerpts, it's like, well, the Kevin Costner's on a rocky relationship with his wife because he's gone too long filming in Montana.
Yeah, okay. And basically she said, stop acting or me.
Me. You know, you knew this is what I did before. But at the same time, it's like, okay, he's 67.
It's probably his last run.
Or he's got enough money. I think the part is it's like he's gone too much. Okay, then go hang out in Montana with him. What? Oh, you don't like it up there? You only want L.A.? It's an ultimatum. And in his case, I'm like, kick her to the curb. I'm not even a Costner. Ever since Waterworld, he's pissed me off. So,
well, yeah, I was just gonna say, don't you hate Costner? So it's like,
yeah, I'm not a Costner fan. He's done more shitty movies, in my opinion, than good ones. But
the way I see it, as
he's done some good ones, I'll say
with either guy. Well, I mean, Tom Brady is probably in his last year. Kevin Costner is probably not going to act after this. Pick the passion now. If they're gone, that's their loss. I mean, you're really going to be petty over that after their last hurrah. That's pretty fucking sad on your part. Because, I mean, let the man get his fucking, you know, 2 cents out of it. It's very selfish on the woman's part. Because you know the man's going to be done one day. Why don't you just wait until he's really done?
Yeah, so he's not like train's going to leave the station at some point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Wouldn't that be the more depressing to quit your passion and be with somebody just because of that? I think if some, I don't think my fiance would, but if it ever comes to that fucking day. But.
Yeah, well, I don't think Tom Brady should have retired. I thought he should have kept going. Now, unless he really was trying to, I'm leaving on a high note and call it good, right? But, yeah. You know, if there's even a hesitation, keep doing it, right? Because there's always, you know, there's, and there is a reality, like, when's the time to leave, right? That's the other trick.
When you're done with it.
Yeah, but my point is, you could be, do you want to be, you could have done what Tom Brady did. Like I said, I don't think he should have left in the first place. He should have kept going at least another season to see how it works. He's out.
Still playing.
No, I know, but he left, quote unquote, retired. And he then was 2 weeks later,
for 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, he's, no, I'm back. So technically, he's out of the game. But there's other dudes like Brett Favre or others, right? You know, get done with Green Bay and end up in Minnesota of all places. Like, what the fuck? And there's more of a sour taste in everyone's mouth with Brett Favre versus, you know, because he did that. If Tom Brady just left and said, I'm good, but I think he should have kept going and see what happens. And then even then after this year, whether he won or lost, like, regardless of the record of the team he was on, he could go, well, okay, now it's like, you can still gracefully leave and call it good. So there, you know, that's, it's interesting. I know I saw Zach's post too, and it was basically that Tom Brady left his family for his career and Zach left his career for his family. And as a result, he's happy. The question was, is Tom Brady, you know, who knows what ultimately is going to happen with him and his wife or whatever. Like, maybe he's happy. Maybe he's fine. If she's the unhappy one, okay. Yeah. But like you were saying, CJ and Nate, like, that was, he's a football player long before Giselle, like, he had a family long before Giselle came along. Like, I mean, Kevin Costner was an actor. I don't know if he was married before.
Oh, yeah,
when he
got second married, marriage. But... So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, going in, you knew this dude's an actor, and if nothing else, look at the films he's made. He loves acting, regardless of whether the public at large loves what he does. So, he's clearly acting because that's kind of his thing.
Right.
So it's not always about making.
Well, and it's like he didn't know the show was going to take off and it's going into its like fourth season or whatever. Yeah. You know, he'd have been like, oh, yeah, I'll sign up for a season or two. This sounds like fun. Playing a cowboy. Yeah. Let's go.
And I don't know if he's ever done TV before. So it's like, yeah, something new for him. It's more of a steady. It's
been
gig.
A while, though. Yeah.
It's more of a 9 to 5 punch the clock kind of thing. Not like, who knows when my next movie is, or once I get a movie, then it's 6 weeks over here and 3 weeks over here, and like whatever. And then you got to tour around and do the thing to promote the thing. Whereas this is more of a 9 to 5 job.
So. Going back to his post too, it's like, it depends if you're happy with what you're doing. It's like, she's supposed to support you through it all.
Yep.
you know, if your significant other, you know, if you quit and you went home. But it's like, I would say Zach changed careers. He didn't quit his career. He changed careers.
I mean, he quit the Navy, but yeah.
Yeah.
He filled it with something else. Yeah.
He filled it with something else. So it's like, yeah, you know, could some of these guys quit their, okay. I don't know. There's a lot of ways you could play that one out. It's a balancing act. I think it all comes down to ultimatums, though. You know, if it's all or nothing, it's like, okay, I'll take the nothing and move on.
And there's a whole bunch of
go ahead.
Go ahead.
That was the most Canada shit I've ever heard.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that there's certainly a bunch of shit that we don't know with Tom Brady. Like, maybe there was a conversation. You know, maybe it was her that wanted him to quit. Maybe it was, or he said, I'm going back. And whether or not, you know, right. It's not like Tom Brady just said, you know, called up the NFL and said, hey, I'm going back in. Like, there had to be some personal conversation between him and his wife and his family to talk about the thing and to go back. You don't make, I mean, maybe you make decisions like that in a vacuum, but I doubt it. And who knows what those conversations were like. And at the end of the day, though, right, it's him leading himself, his family, but it's also him leading himself. Like, that he's got to be happy with what he's doing. Otherwise, right, you're sacrificing yourself for somebody else. You're putting, and it, you know, if there's some caliber of woman, Giselle might be the one you put on in the caliber that you can put on a pedestal. But at the same time, like, nobody throughout history has been successful doing that. It's like, I'm gonna do this thing, and
well, it usually ends up getting them killed. I'm thinking of Cleopatra. Look at all
there, people. You go,
everyone, you know, a bunch of guys put her on a pedestal and they all ended up dead.
Yeah, so, you know, and
like, yeah.
All right. It's okay to be who you are and have your life outside of your family.
Yes. Another would you rather. Go back to being 10 years old with the knowledge you have now, or go back to 25 with $50 million. 25 with $50 million. Because if I had the knowledge that I have now back when I was 10, I would probably be like a father before I was 15 or something, and that'd be bad. So I'll take the money. I'll take the money at 25, because at 50 million, I would buy a house. I already know what I'd do. I'd buy a piece of property or a house wherever.
Hold up. You're going back to 25, not with the knowledge you have now. You're just going back to 25.
I know, with $50 million. Mm-hmm. But still, with $50 million, back for the longest, if I was out of debt, I would buy a house and a property, probably mountains or country, wouldn't be city or whatever. And then I would have stuck everything else in the bank and lived off interest. Now, my problem with not having the knowledge I have now is I wouldn't have invested it properly. But when you have $50 million, I wouldn't have been going off and, like, I probably wouldn't have gone traveling the world. I'd have been the guy, the angel has fallen or whatever. I can't think of his old Gerard man Butler. Goes out. What's that? Yeah.
Gerard Butler.
But he goes to his dad, and his dad's got all the explosives set up around the property, all the guns.
Yeah.
The that he would lives have been
out me. In the sticks.
Yeah. I would have had a log cabin up in the mountains paying and with just enough money to float in to buy me groceries. That's how I lived up my life. I'd have lived right up there. So I wouldn't have invested it and wouldn't gone, but $50 million I could have lived off of for the rest of my life.
Yeah. How about you, CJ? Did this come from somewhere, or is this just some random?
I heard it on another podcast, and I literally thought about reliving my life at 10 all day. Well, so first thing I
know now, yeah.
First thing I looked up, all the stocks that had the highest spikes from then till now.
in preparation for
back to win your team. I was like, well, I got a lot of time today to think about this. So I was going through everything and I had like my whole fucking life rearranged. Coffee went up like 8,000% since then.
Or even sports teams, like if you remember who won certain Amazon's another one.
You could have made money off Yahoo. You could have even made money off AOL. Well, you're maybe not old enough for the AOL.
I would have bought into Netflix because it started 4 years after I was 10.
There you go.
4 years before I was 10, which is weird to think that's been around since 1997.
But then who knows how, I forget when they went public. The
butterfly effect would have been in display, but that'd have been more fun. I'd have been a 10-year-old buying fucking stocks.
And just think of just the way you'd approach people, not just girls, but people like being 10 and knowing how to navigate the just social landscape, generally speaking. It's like, fuck. Start lifting when you're 10.
Yeah, see, the 25 and 50 million is pretty cool, but 10 with the knowledge I have now is fucking interesting.
I'll agree. I just know what I would take. Because that was like right before that had been 2 years before I got married, that I was still at the peak of my reenacting. I mean, I would have so just bought a piece of property and just lived there happily the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's interesting because, if you, like you said, TJ, if you're 10, knowing what I know now, and I was, bless you.
Thank you.
I was a, God bless me. The hell with you. as my dad would say. Because, I was a runt. So it was easy for me to be picked on and all those sorts of things. So knowing what I know now would probably be, I'd be ruthless. Like, it'd just be ridiculous. But I think I'd have to pick the 25 and 50 mil because I think I'd be like you, Nate. It's probably in a far better spot.
Well, think about it. You're talking 50 mil at 1983, 1984.
That's a totally different number than I would get.
That's true. Inflation adjusted dollars.
$50 million is not the same as your 50 million.
Yeah, this is true.
That's a good point.
A 10-year-old me would end up being richer, but at what point do you no longer care? You know, it's like we've talked about billions till we're blue in the face. At what point do you go, I got enough money?
That's another part of this I've also thought about is if 10-year-old me had the knowledge I have now, I probably wouldn't have more than 50 million by 25, but I would have way more freedom than I would have at 25 with 50 million. Because I'd be able to make revenue off of things I wouldn't even have to touch at that point.
Right.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like at 25, maybe you don't have 50 million, but you're on track to have so much more, and your life is set up so much
more open.
Well, especially
differently so that you can navigate that.
Well, it's interesting.
I'd probably blow that 50 million somehow.
7-10%. Was it still double digits in the 80s for 90s it started to drop into the single digits for interest rates, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So it wouldn't have been a huge return. So yeah, I wouldn't have fine. I'd have just
it'd be pretty, I mean, relative to what it's been over the last up until, I mean, obviously this year and last year, interest rates have gone up a lot, significantly relative to zero.
Right.
Because they're at 2 or 3, and they've signaled that that's going to go even a little higher. But if you take out the last year or two, the company I work for, interest based revenue is up 44%. total assets has gone down some percentage, but that's strictly due to stock market losses, just the devaluation of the stock market. Okay. But interest rates in the 80s, early 80s, were still worth a damn.
Yeah.
90s too is when it really started coming down to where it was like maybe a percent or if that.
Current mortgage rates are up to about 7.
Yep.
So they have gone up quite a bit.
But, you know, I think that's a solid point, CJ. Like, if you knew everything that you know now at 10, right? And but it's even different. You know, at your age, if you going back to 10 versus our age and going back to 10.
Yeah. What would I have done different in the 80s compared to the 90s? Yeah.
Because we have, you know, I've got 20 more years on CJ. So.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. We'd have been 83, 84, and he's a decade behind. Well, see, there's the other thing. We were pre-internet. Basically, I mean, it was on, but it, computers were really just coming out, but we'd had to wait till our teens really to actually make advancements because we wouldn't have had the internet age to
We'd be in a better spot to take advantage of the birth of the internet. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you could be like,
and even your mobile dad,
hey,
for CJ?
You need to buy stock in this. What? No, put $1,000 here. Oh, that won't. No, just trust
me.
You know, you'd had to do it the old fashioned paper way, and people would be like, wait, what? What are you doing? Oh, the other thing that I would have gotten in on
fax shit in
is it would have been what, 2003 or 2004, but I would never have to work again because of Bitcoin.
That was another thing I was thinking about.
Yeah. When you talk about Bitcoin, I would have begged, borrowed, pleaded, and everything, and been like, I would have owned so much Bitcoin.
When did it come out?
Early 2000s. I forget.
Well, I was 10 in 2001. So
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were been. Yeah, that's even a bigger difference for you for being 10. You weren't even into your teens into the early 2000s. That's right. I was thinking 90s. Yeah, see, we'd had 20 years to get to all the... waiting for a lot of stuff.
Wow. I mean, you'd have a lot of shit set up by the time you're 20s, 30s. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you guys 40s?
You're 52 in December. So.
No, you won't.
I can't believe it either, but
you're gonna be 52 in December. I thought you're only a year older than me.
Nope.
You're 4 years older than me.
Yep. Graduated high school in 89.
Oh, we're off by a little bit. I wasn't thinking.
Yep.
You I'm really 51. Are old.
Yep. I am the grizzled ancient on this podcast.
Dang it. I wonder how old I am if I messed
up. I'm a jacked grizzled ancient, but I'm a grizzled ancient.
Do you ever check your age by actually, you know, do the math to make sure you're the right age you think you are? Every once in a while, I'm like, how old am I? I think this is an even year, though.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty easy given the year I was born.
Yeah.
So, 70. So,
okay, so you are 4 years older.
Your math is easy.
For some reason, I thought you were only 2. Math is
easy. Nope.
No. Dammer.
Like I said, grizzled ancient.
He is.
And then your middle school and CJ's new school. Elementary school.
I like it.
Or like preschool, wouldn't it?
Or old school, middle school, new school. Yeah.
Right. When did you graduate, Jimmy?
1989.
I was from high school. Born, so.
Yeah.
See, oh, well, that's maybe where I screwed up a little because I graduated in 92.
I was That's, one.
What? There's one here. You were hey. One?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he was like preschool. He's still shitting himself.
Damn straight I was. Big old
Not dinky. Like much has changed, but
big old deuce in your diaper. Yeah. That's fair.
Sitting there walling around in it.
Having Probably to shoot to up corner. His back.
Are you shitting? Yep.
I think we've avoided shit in the last few podcasts, and here we are again.
You had to bring it up. You had to bring it up.
I did. Yeah,
that's fair.
Okay, as we're moving along here into movie night, have you guys seen the preview for All Quiet on the Western Front?
It's not already. It's an old movie.
Nope, they did a brand new There's remake. There's a new one.
They're redoing it.
Yep. Yeah, and is I it did Netflix not or is this it... is the third remake of it.
Oh, I watched a video about a guy talking about the original one, and that's why I was looking at him like, I've seen this before. And yeah, there's a guy that I follow on YouTube that does like kind of breakdowns, but he talks about some obscure shit like this. And he was talking about how this was a view into, what was it? World War II.
Germans. It's World War.
It was one. Yes.
Yeah. One of the German side.
Yeah. He explained it as the kids going into war and how they're all excited. Then they get to war and how it is really. Yeah. It was pretty, what was in it? Like, it was propaganda to show like why war is not a glorified, it shouldn't be a glorified thing. And it was like way before its time too.
Yeah. And was done by a German, but here's my thought on it.
Originally done 1930,
which was right after he wrote the book. I think he wrote the book in 1920.
29.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But here's the one, it's a propaganda movie, but it's like it's trying to get you to sympathize with the Germans. You know, if you look at it from the American perspective, it's like, okay, well, the Germans shouldn't have gone to war then, and we wouldn't have gone over there and fucked them up.
We didn't in World War One. We were fighting with them, if I believe.
What, World War One?
I'm pretty sure. What? You sure?
They're always part of the Axis. We were part of the Allied. Hmm. No, I'm the Germans totally would have been the bad guy in both.
There is barely any information on World War One compared to World War Two. It's ridiculous.
This is true because, yeah. But no.
It's like, honestly, it's a forgotten war, even though it was a world war.
Yes, I would agree. Because they basically got their butts kicked in World War One, and that's where Adolf kind of really took off afterwards and got control to get set up for World War Two. Basically, kind of, yeah. And that's why they got hit even harder in World War Two, because it's like, okay, you guys already did this once. So we're going to really kick you down this next time and make a lot of money off it. But it's like... I'm kind of torn. Okay, if you're a German, I think that's a really good movie to watch. You know, let's not go to war, da-da-da. It's not as much propaganda. But on the American, looking at it through an American scope, just my American view, it's like, why are you trying to get me to sympathize like this? I think that the same thing along with like the Japanese, when they try to show me the opposite token of them going up against all our guys fighting in the islands. No, I don't really care that we used a torch to burn you guys out of your holes. You were slaughtering us by the thousands, you know? It's like, yeah, but it's like, oh, we had it bad. Yep.
Everybody had it bad. It's fucking war.
Yeah, it's war. Both sides had it bad. Why are you trying to get me? But it seems weird with like where we're at currently of, why are you trying to put a German sympathizer movie out there?
It is kind of weird.
You know, for the propaganda that it is, in most war movies are trying to show you all the bad stuff. And I mean, even the American war movies are all propaganda movies of feeling bad and da, 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 da. But it's like, why are you throwing a German one out to the Americans? Well, we got all this Russian war and everything. It's like, why are you trying to make us feel good about the Germans? That's almost how I feel about it. It's like, okay, it's a remake. Well, why are you bringing that remake back now?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's the anti-war sentiment, right? It's a way to... It just so happens that that's the story to tell, and who knows? Like, I'm sure somebody, you know, time will tell if it's worth a damn as an actual movie, but and what they do with it, right? With remakes, I'm just surprised that it's not, you know, an all female cast with
all female Germans,
yeah, all female soldiers,
models,
yeah,
German and, models,
you know. Of different races. So it's not just all white, they're black and Asian and Indian. So it's a diverse cast of, you know, that would, but, you know, that's just it. It's like, who knows what they're really going to do with it, but I wouldn't be surprised, right? There's, I do think it's interesting because so many things have flipped, right? It's interesting that there are those on the left that are advocating for war who a decade ago, or definitely four decades ago, would be screaming at the top of their lungs against war. And we have those on the right that are saying, whoa, let's not go to war, when they're the ones decades ago that would be screaming for it. So it's definitely an interesting time where things have seemed to flip culturally. Like there's a new polarity. So I'll be curious to hear, or, you know, see what shakes out of it. Maybe nothing. Maybe nobody goes to see it because it's a terrible movie. But
it's on Netflix,
is it?
Depending on what they do and how Netflix they do it and what they do with it,
the machine itself. So.
This is true.
Yeah.
But you can't watch anything without a little tidbit of it.
Yes. Nothing, and hardly. Yeah.
For our listeners, it comes out. When is this going to come out?
I don't know. Week or two.
Well, the 28th of October is when it comes out.
So
this weekend.
Well, Friday. Oh, yeah. So it'll be out before. Well, so it'll be after the fact. Oh, well.
But. Yeah, well, spoiler alert.
I'm surprised they didn't do it with like a Ukraine twist. If they really want to make a propaganda.
No, yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, do it as like the maybe same
that's the reason kind of why movie. They're. In all honesty, that's kind of what popped in my head. That's sort of the reason why they did it, but still keeping the original, because I don't know. All's Quiet in the Western Front's kind of sort of iconic. Not that they wouldn't fuck with it, but
they mess with every movie.
It's true, like, no,
some they should just leave alone.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like trying to remake The Bridge Over River Kwai. I mean, it's like
The Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there's just some, like, if you do it, you kind of have to do it. You can't fuck around with it too, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, you can fuck around with shit, but there's some, not that it's sacred, but some things are still like but maybe the story itself is enough, and it's because of the Ukraine and shit that's going on that, oh, we, and maybe if anything they lean into the anti-war nature of it, kind of thing, right? To say it's bad. But, you know, I mentioned I had a conversation with somebody here in the last week or two. It's like, you know, what if what we're being told about that's all wrong, and Russia's actually the good guys in this sort of thing? Like, there's a time where I wouldn't have thought such a thing or even believed that's sort of possible, especially growing up when I did, you know, the Cold War, and oh my God, the Russians are the most terrible
people
on country on earth. Yep. Yeah, they're like they're ruthless and blah 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 blah. But you know, and don't get me wrong, Putin isn't necessarily a nice guy. But what you know, they went after Chechnya under the you know, a few years back under the a different president. But those, if you talk to those people, right, they identify more ethnically as Russian anyway. And so they were like, yeah, we kind of want to be part of Russia, not part of the Ukraine. And I think that's kind of what's happening, at least with one, if not two of the areas that he's trying to go after.
Well, in all war is one thing, basically, like large scale. It's about pumping more arms and weapons in there. It's money.
Yep.
People fight over borders, but at the end of the day, it's all about money. All the arms dealers are happier than all get out because they're spending billions on all this arms going into there.
Yep.
All you'd have to do is shut down the arms dealers and most war would go away.
Oh yeah.
Cause it'd go back to being a little tribal type stuff. It's like,
Well, and going back to something you guys were talking about at the beginning of this segment, this topic, right? The nature of war is death. Doesn't matter who starts it, who's involved, the reasons behind going to war, whether it's World War One, World War Two, World War Next, whether it's me fighting with a neighbor, like the nature of war is death. And that's something that I heard Jocko Willink talk about because he graciously, actually, it's for the Tim Ferriss podcast. He graciously years ago did kind of a Q&A where he was listeners of the podcast submitted questions. And there were a couple in there where they were basically, you know, you warmonger, blah, 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 you know, kind of that sort of slant. And he's like, look, the nature of war is death. It's not pretty. It's not fun. It's, you could argue whether it's right or not, but it's here. It happens. So, you know, in that context, and he has a great way of explaining it. It was long ago. It was a couple years ago. It's nothing recent. I highly recommend it, listening to it, because it's a solid take. It's Jocko. I mean, you hear the man speak, he just lays it out. But like I said, that's something I think we forget, that the nature of war, who regardless of who initiates it, is death on both sides. It's just what it is. And nobody comes out of that experience unscathed in some way, shape, or form, or some smirch on their honor or whatever. You know, like there's it's a dirty business and it is what it is. So
there's like four podcasts with both of them.
What's that?
Do you know which one it was, Jimmy?
There's one where Tim did an interview of Jocko, and then there is one where it's just Jocko, but it's Tim's podcast.
There's a Jocko Takeover, and the first time he was on there.
Yes. There's like both of those are great listens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank me later.
You know,
when are we getting Jocko on this podcast?
Oh. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'll reach out to his peeps, see if he's
okay.
Free.
You know,
and then him, Joe Rogan. Who else do we need to get? Anyway, I digress. Yours is the same, Nate.
It's hard talking about war because U.S. is such a warmongering country.
Mm-hmm. With the exception of 4 years.
Yeah. Not all the 4 years together. There was like 6 months here and a few months there. It's so minimal. You know, we're talking months type thing. So we're such, it's like, why do we have to be the world police? And we've discussed this before in other prior podcasts, but it's like some country out there has to be the world police. And for whatever reason, it's us right now. You know,
used to be Great Britain before us.
Yeah, it's like a legacy back. And then, you know, kind of before them, it was the Romans. But then Asia, the whole eastern side, it's gone back and forth between China, Mongolia, Russia,
Japan.
Japan's only been their island. I would never say they were.
That's fair.
Japan themselves, yes. But as far as the major continent is
concerned. Yeah.
They were never
a huge player.
They never colonized, as far as I know.
You're right. Yeah. They just stuck to their island. That's a solid point.
You know,
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. So, you know, and that kind of was the dividing line. And then when Britain started colonizing everything, that's what really opened up all the world. And then the rest of Europe started colonizing. And, you know, it's like to walk over and be like, you got a flag? Nope, you do now. You know, it's like
I like that grass over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it.
We're such a warring nation. And then it's like, it's hard. It's like, yeah, should we have done a lot of these plays? What'd we go over there for? Money.
Well, it's interesting that Eisenhower in the 50s warned against the military industrial complex, right? And he is a Republican. Like, he's like, you know, and it's like, and sure enough, I mean, you follow the money.
Yeah, it's all about money. All the big wars, every big war. I mean, even look at the Crusades. Back in the day, it was all about money. Yeah, we can do land. But it came down to money.
Yeah.
At the very end. All right. More movies. And this one's going to be tough. Movies every millennial dad should introduce to his kids, which... We're so far out of this. Do we even count here?
Well, it's more just going through some of the movies.
You so give it advice, fuckface.
There is a link in there that talks about some of the movies.
Yeah, so. I got the link. Okay.
Okay.
Goonies. Are we going to talk about them?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. The first one on here is the Goonies. Actually, I've never seen... I may have seen the first one at some point, but I was never a Goonies fan.
I didn't like it, and I've seen it once.
I
thought it was great.
Did you?
It was. I mean, it was just a fun ride. I mean,
I never.
I'd rather show my kids on the Sandlot than that.
Yeah. It has Brolin, Josh Brolin, Rudy Rudiger. I can't think of Samwise Gamgee. I can't think of the actor's name. Sean Astin.
They weren't big actors yet.
He was a little kid. Even Brolin was like a teenager.
You're right. It still doesn't count because
they were nobody. The Asian kid from, didn't he do the Temple of Doom too?
I believe
short round.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one, Karate Kid 1 and 2. I'll go with maybe one, but not two.
There's very few sequels that I would be willing to show my kids because most of the times they would just be disappointed as I was.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's like Sharknado sequels, because it's Sharknado.
They know exactly what it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Nate, you seeing this hair Jimmy's got going on his chin there?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah. Fixed. It can get a little unruly. Yeah, it can get a little unruly.
That thing was on its own.
Yeah, it does that.
All right, Back to the Future trilogy. Again, the first one.
You get the idea.
What?
After the first one, you kind of get the idea.
Yeah, everything else after that was stupid. It was like.
It's interesting that in Back to the Future, one of the things that he says in there says, I think the reason these films have become modern, timeless classics is that the heart of the story is a kid coming to grips with the inadequacies of his parents, the difficulties of adulthood, and his own place in the world. That's interesting. That's true. I've never thought of it as, because he does realize, especially in the first one, he realizes his parents, like what they were as teenagers versus what he's living with are two different things.
Yeah. Which I think that's where you get it in the one, and then two and three, it was like they're just riding off the.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the coattails, that's for sure.
I can't say anything about Flight of the Navigator because I'm sure I watched it at some point, but I do not remember it.
As a millennial, I have no fucking idea what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen it. Pee Wee Herman voices the ship.
The spaceship. Exactly why I've never seen it.
That I probably have.
It's actually a cute little whatever. Yeah. But whatever.
Next one's The Sandlot, and CJ already said.
Hey. Yeah,
why would you watch that or have your kids watch that?
So they know what, like, I don't know. Because first of all, it's a fun movie, and it kind of teaches you about friendship, really. About having your friends back and shit. And shit, yeah. That's definitely what I'm going to tell my
kids. Drooling over hot shit, hot chicks. What was it? What's the...
Conquering it says. Your fears of the dog that's
yeah. The fence.
It's just timeless. It's like watching The Little Rascals as a kid.
Have a great time laughing and repeating all of our favorite lines. You're killing me, Smalls. You play ball like a girl. And drooling over Wendy Peppercorn. Oh, the pool.
Yes.
The lifeguard.
Absolutely.
And I liked how the dog like was, you know, like this monster, like Godzilla behind the fence kind of thing. Just the way they portrayed that. Anyway.
All right, next one. Indiana Jones. Yes. I had my
It says the original trilogy, but I'd just say the first one and maybe the third one.
I have maybe have seen them. I do not remember anything.
What was the second one about?
Temple of Doom. They were in India.
Was that the one with the monkey brains?
The monkey brains.
Oh, yeah, you got to watch that.
In Short Round.
Number two is on the list just because of the monkey brain scene.
I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't think it was that good, but I know what you're saying. I get where you're going with that.
Well,
should I just watch the first one or?
Yes.
The first one for sure, I would say watch the other two just because for some extra time. Do a full Indiana Jones. I think if you watch them concurrently,
it'd be better if you watch them.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom. Yeah, and then you can kind of play with it because it kind of goes along the story line. But it's just like I like the original three Star Wars better than I do all the other stuff that came after it. You know, it's like there's certain – you got to think of the era it was made and some of the stuff they did. They did a good job of, you know.
And the story with the Nazis and the kind of occult sorts of – you know, the archaeology. I think there's some lots of interesting stories there, right? It's easy to hate the Nazis, right? They're a universal bad guy. So it's always easy. But I think the adventure part of it is really, you know, it's just a fun ride in that regard. It's an adventure story. It's sort of, you know, slightly believable, but kind of not. But that's part of the fun of just the movie, that experience. Like it's just the whole thing. It adds
to the fantasy of that age group.
Yeah, yeah.
All four.
I will say that it's interesting. There's, you know, these days there's, especially, let's just say, with interest in younger people of the opposite sex, there's, because in the story, I know I've seen some criticism of Spielberg, and because it was Spielberg and Lucas that came up with this, right?
I believe so.
So it's that powerhouse duo. Anyway, the affair with Indy and Marion, the main character, like she was super young. And that's now coming to light. Like, wait a minute, what? She was how old? So, you know, there may be something like that, but overall, It's just a fun adventure ride. I think that's really cool, and Harrison's good in it. Yep. What was next? The next one I don't think I heard
Heavyweights?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. It's a Disney movie.
Oh, okay.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's about a fat camp. And the fat kids take over the camp. It's a fun movie. I mean,
I don't know if I've seen that one. When did it come out?
Early 2000s.
Okay, I probably didn't see it then.
That's probably where they got the idea for Average Joe's, is Ben Stiller's part in that movie. It was literally the same guy.
1995, it says.
Never mind. Really? It was not early 2000s. Wow.
See, this is one of those I may have watched with like my buddies or something or whatever, but or I was preoccupied doing other things. Yeah, I don't remember it.
I've seen it recently too.
Probably on
Disney Plus, just because it was like one of those, what do you call it? When you go back in time, you see something that. Yes, it was nostalgia for me. Yeah. I'm surprised that's on there, honestly.
Monster Squad.
I don't remember this one.
Neither do I. It says something about Dracula, Wolfman, Mummy, and Gilman descend upon a small town, and a group of plucky kids take it upon themselves to kick some monster ass. This movie is a cornucopia of quotes. Sure. And of course,
when the 1976.
Yeah, whatever.
The TV show. Okay.
1987.
Oh, so they came out with a movie and there's a TV show.
Oh, interesting. Sure. Whatevs. Now the next one
is a must. Though
Ghostbusters,
not the new remake of it.
You get the original
Ghostbusters. Yes, that was.
God, that was so good.
It was, and they should have stopped it there. They should have just did Ghostbusters 1, left it be a classic, and called it a day. Though. With them having all the original guys back on that new remake they did to fix their screw-up.
To really tie it together.
It together. That one has me curious. I saw some clips of it, and I'm like...
I've heard good things.
Okay. You brought back the original class that's alive for most of it. And it's like...
It's so good. Like... Dan Aykroyd's character. It's like, hey, does this pole work? We should stay here tonight. Like, he's just, what did you do, Ray? I thought of the most innocent thing I could. What'd you think? The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Like, there's just so many lines. Like, oh my God, it's like, how many more steps? Great. When we get to the 20th floor, let me know so I can throw up.
Home Alone. Yeah. I think
that original one.
Yeah. The original Home Alone. The second one again.
Yeah, he puts cologne on his. He's putting, he gets out one. Of the.
The second one's good.
He puts cologne, like he's gets out of the shower, puts cologne on his nuts. Because,
the second one doesn't come any close to comparing to the original.
I just like the booby traps he sent up in two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was one thing that I remember as a kid. I would watch the movies, but I would fast forward to whenever he started doing the booby traps.
Just so you could. Yeah.
I did that.
I see you working.
Too. Yeah. Those are. Nice.
I see
the working. Movie, and then you rewind to watch all the booby traps again.
That was it. Yeah, my for Christmas, Santa brought the Home Alone Lego set for one of my for my oldest. So I have a small scale Lego of the house. We'll put the pictures. I'll take some pictures of it and put it on Patreon, patreon.com/BRNation. You can sign up and see the pictures there.
Yeah.
That costs you like $600. It's a first of all, it's a big fucking house.
Yep. And you can open it up. I'll show you. So you can, it's a house and then it opens up and it has all the things. So the sled that goes down the stairs, it even has a tree with the tree house and the zip line and a little van. It's got all the stuff. It's ridiculous. Wait. It wasn't that expensive, but it was pricey.
How many rooms does that house actually have?
There's the attic. I think two rooms on either side of the stairwell on both the top and bottom floors, plus a basement.
When they show a front view of that house, it looks like a hotel.
Absolutely. It totally does. I'll take a picture and share it. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, every once in a while, whenever we go to, I go to like Target or something, I always got to go past the toy section and look at the new things you got for Legos. Good God. There is one that I'm like, okay, that's kind of fucking sick. They got a 69 Mustang that you can build out of Legos.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that.
But here. Fuck. They're not even kind of cheap. They're extremely expensive. It's like a $200 set.
I mean, props to my oldest. She wanted the Millennium Falcon, but the legit Millennium Falcon one Lego set, because they have a couple different less pieces. So it's
you're cheaper. Talking about the big black box, right?
Yeah, the big, huge one that's like $800-$900. Or it's like, yeah, that's Santa likes you, but not that much.
Good. But you haven't been perfect.
Exactly.
Better get a fucking loan out, kid.
You know, you say that, but then it's like, what kind of phone did you buy her?
She does not have a phone.
Oh, see, a lot of people be like, yeah, that's too much money, but we bought him the brand new iPhone.
Brand new iPhone, yeah. iPhone 14 Max, Pro Max, that's $1 million. Yeah,
exactly. You're like, you know, I love catching people. It's like, how much is your kid's phone? You know, my
thankfully she doesn't have one yet.
My kid's last phone was ended up being free, which I'm glad because of how he torched the one before. Have I told you guys how he fried his other phone? I don't know if I have or not.
Was the charger like he used a charger for something charger. Else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't take a 1980s electric piano with the little multiple plug-in where it has the four things and think you can plug a modern-day cell phone into it. You just...
Voltage, wattage matters. Yep.
It won't... It just won't place out.
God love him for coming up with that, though. Like, a lesser kid wouldn't have figured it out.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are modern electric pianos that you definitely can hook your phone up to. Oh, it's Ken. Just not this 1980s version with the old replacement plug-in.
Yeah.
Let's see. Princess Bride. Absolutely. Everybody should watch Princess Bride.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Yeah. Never go against a Sicilian. I know that you know that I know. And then he keels over dead.
Yep.
Andre the Giant was in that one, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I've never seen it. Did I tell you guys when I went into the bar in Colorado and they were playing that movie at 2 p.m.?
No. No.
Did you sit there and watch the whole thing?
I watched the second half of it.
Okay. Mm.
Well, I was mute and the bartender was staying line for line. Because I had to ask him, like, is this a normal thing? Is this what you guys watch? They're like, we have five movies that play in here at all times. Like, that's all right.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay. I want to say five movies. It's that one, the original three Star Wars, and the original three Lord of the Rings. That's it.
There's worse things.
Yeah. But Princess Bride
and Shrek. Would be Shrek.
And Shrek.
Oh, it was a good bar. I was enjoying it.
There you go. Let's see. E.T. I know I watched it, but it's so far back in my memory, and I don't think you can pay me to watch it again.
I wasn't big on it even as a kid. I mean, yeah. it's one of those movies. I could do with it or do without it. Yeah. I care less.
I mean, we all made fun of the E.T. phone home thing and the lighted finger, and that's about. It's like we made more fun of the movie than we did like actually enjoying
it. Like two memorable scenes, and the whole rest we can just throw away.
Yeah,
but I think I don't know if it's necessarily Spielberg at his best, but it's actually, of all the things he's done, it's pretty good from a storytelling, even the production. I mean, I get it. I'm with you guys. I was never truly into it, but what the fuck's her name? Drew Barrymore, who is a little kid in this thing. She's like 48 now.
Right. You know, it'd be like, do you want to watch E.T. or the Dark Crystal? Dark Crystal.
Hands down.
You know, it's one of those. It's like, was E.T. a better... Oh, production-wise, No, the puppets win. You know, it's like, yeah. So...
And then last on the... Or not last.
Not quite last. We got Space Camp. Which that's another one I barely can remember. It's like coming of age teens. It was 80s, 90s, go to space camp. I'd agree with that. Everybody wanted to go because I remember when they were starting to do all the like space centers and stuff. And you could go in there, you could buy the freeze dried ice cream or whatever. Dehydrated ice cream, and they do the big star thing or whatever, and everybody wanted to go to space. The problem with this is I don't think most kids nowadays would think this is all that great of a movie, but back 80s, 90s, you know, it was the whole right after the space race and everything, you know, it was still huge. And then things kind of took a turn and felt bad because it had been 88, 89 when that first shuttle blew up? Was it the Challenger?
No, it was 80.
Because there was a teacher on board, wasn't it?
Sally Ride. But that was 80. I was still in junior high. So it had to be.
I was thinking I was like fourth grade.
80, 86, 85.
Okay, 84, so
somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's a young Leah Thompson in that, who is also in Back to the Future, played the mom, played the mom. And I didn't know this, a very young Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Was in Space Camp.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting.
The Buttercream Gang. I don't even.
Yeah.
That's another one I probably watched, the last one on my list, but I don't. Oh, it went direct to VHS.
Yeah, my mom bought it and he watched it. So I don't know that I. Yeah, I couldn't tell you who the fuck's even in it. Yeah. Nobody I know. What's it about?
Don't know.
Don't care. So. Yeah.
Never seen it.
I didn't watch a lot of movies when I was younger because they like curtailed me from watching quite a few. So it was from like 92 to 96. I caught up on all the 60s, 70s, and 80s movies. And then about 96, 97, I quit watching movies. I went from watching everything I could get my hands on from the video store to not watching anything till about 2006, 2005. 2005, my movie thing. But somewhere along the line, I would see a lot of newer stuff. But we were back into watching all the 80s and 90s movies again.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a good almost decade from like the mid 90s to the mid 2005-ish that
they're just a black hole.
Yeah. People will pull up stuff and I'll be like, unless I've watched it later on, or my buddy would burn movies for me and I would watch it that way. But yeah, and then it's like as the 2000s went along, the movies just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it's like,
yeah. I was thinking about watching Ferris Bueller with the girls.
There you go. That should have been on the list. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was a good one.
Breakfast Club. Oh,
that's a good one. Is that the one with the kid with braces?
Yeah. Where he tried to make the lamp and shot.
Yeah, okay.
Tried to kill himself with a flare gun. Just, yeah. Although, you know, I forget the guy who did those movies. He just tapped into that teenage sort of angst or whatever. Well,
the Breakfast Club, they also was kind of part of the Rat Pack. They had their own little crew and they did a lot of movies together, and a lot of them stemmed off them working on the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Lots of nostalgia
back in the day. Yeah, yeah, but good times. Yeah,
there's some good ones. It's like, yeah,
you know, and some of these days, movies are rare. I mean, Top Gun Maverick, like new movies I've seen that are worth a damn. Top Gun Maverick was really good. It was really well done. It's great, especially if you've seen the first one. The way they tie things into this new one is really well done. That's
something I'm liking to see. Like Top Gun, they're tying and he's old enough that it makes it realistic and it pulls it in. That's why I'm kind of interested in Ghostbusters. They took it's not they're trying
about to the original guys.
They're rebooting it, but at the same time, they're passing the torch kind of. It's like, okay, I'll take that because it's the old guys coming back to help. Some of these reboots, you're looking at them going,
what the fuck? Well, and one thing about Top Gun Maverick too is the practicality. I mean, it's Tom Cruise, so anymore he's making movies where there's little or no special effects. It's all practical. Yeah. And I watched an interesting video on YouTube where they talked about the cinematographers. No, it's actually the cinematographers, the guys who did the filming. They had to, because they were putting cameras on these F-18 Hornets, they needed gimbals and rigs that could actually handle those speeds and the wind shear and the G's. The guy even designed a jet to be able to film some of this stuff. So he put a gimbal, some company came out with a gimbal, and he's like, what if I took this jet? And it's not even a military jet. It's like a civilian jet. But if I took one of those, replaced the nose with a camera gimbal, and then put a camera gimbal on the back, would it work? And he tried it. He said it took a year, but then now we have the C-19 Cinejet, like whatever it is. So now he's built a thing that's a legit product. But then he was able to fly with the Hornets to get some shots aerial, but you know, even the camera itself is this robust thing to be able to handle all the shit that they're throwing at it, let alone the cameras in the cockpit. It's interesting on just how they film it. And apparently Tom Cruise is like, I'm up for making it, but we need a good story and we got to find a way to really film it, like practically kind of thing. Right. And it's just interesting. So it's so that, and with what Tom Cruise has been doing lately, kind of the way Jackie Chan's, it's like he's doing his own stunts. He's doing his own things. It's him, well, John Wick. With
he took all the Keanu actors up in the planes.
Yeah, I think
that was the training. Cool. It's like, yeah, we're really going up in planes. You're really going to feel like this.
You're going to feel it. We're going to shoot you off an aircraft carrier, so you know what it's like to deal with that. So that's, yeah. I'd highly recommend it. But
yeah, but I get where you're going with like John Wick. Anyone that does their own stuff, you can tell.
Like it's real. Like you can stay with the actor longer and you're not cutting away some gimmick. So someone's doing something and then he's like, you know, he's actually doing the thing. And I think that's something in movie making that I appreciate because it's more visceral. It is real. There's something to it. But I can't think of too many modern. Yeah. I mean, sure, there's some cool things, but you know, what movie made in the last 2 or 3 years would you take your kids 10 years, you know, want your kids to go see 10 years from now? You know,
I would have to look something up just to even know what was out there.
Shit's garbage, you know. Yeah. So.
I know I've seen a couple of good ones, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's kind of like let's turn and burn.
See, like if I had a moment to think and I hadn't already said it, Princess Bride would be at the top of my list.
It's of unusual size.
And another goofy one would be Lady Hawk, just because of the medieval fight. Yeah, yep. That was to me. So there's like
Michelle Pfeiffer, mm-hmm. right? And yep. Rutger Hauer.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're the.
And
what is it? The owl and the hawk.
The hawk and the wolf. And then you got since you know your names better than me, Ferris Bueller, he's in it.
Oh yeah. Matthew Broderick.
Yep, he plays the young squire thief, whatever in it. So yeah. That's another excellent one. It'd be like, okay.
All right, show my kids Dune.
Yeah.
The original one.
The one that just came out last year.
That's a
good one. Wouldn't show them. Yeah. Well, by that time they should.
I'd read the book, but
too.
Yeah, the sequel is
supposed to. Fuck faces.
Well, I know, but the
sequel is supposed to come out next year.
Next year, I'm like bummed because I was watching that. I was at a hotel and I'm watching it, and I'm like, "Oh, is it done? What?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah." This it pisses you off, kind
of. I'm like sitting there going, well, it went, did I, and all I thought was I fell asleep during the movie.
And it's over.
And it was over or something. So when I got home, I looked up the ending of Dune and it's like, oh no, first half, next one will be coming out. I'm like, oh.
Well, and they thought about like the director. I saw an interview with the director and they planned to go a little bit further than where they ended up stopping it. But when they cut it together, it's like, okay, now we're starting, like we're almost starting to change the story a bit. Like it's because now this is where they ended is right before all the stuff that happens in the desert. And it's like, if we got too far into that, it would have felt just as bad or worse where we left it. So it's like, let's cut it off here and then we'll make more.
You know, when they do the big splits like that, they should do a summer one and like a winter.
Yeah.
Because once it goes past six,
so they're months, more bookended.
Yeah. Okay. You did one last year and you're going to do another this year or the year after?
Well, in all honesty, so they're filming it now.
Okay.
And it will come out next year. But part of the problem is nobody wanted, so after the 1980 version of Dune, nobody wanted to make it. The director himself, David Lynch, is a famous director. He doesn't even even though his name is tied to it, he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't want to associate. He thinks it's garbage. And it was so panned back in the day because you had Star Wars and all this sort of stuff. And they tried making Dune and it was not Star Wars. And right. So Warner Brothers gave the green light to do this version of Dune that CJ mentioned, this modern one, but it was a gamble. The Warner Brothers saw it as a gamble, and so they weren't willing to commit. They could have done exactly what you just said. Here, make it. Oh. We'll throw as much money as you want, but they were so gun-shy that there's been all this negative shit around it that they wanted to make sure it could get done.
The second movie is not going to do
well be successful
because everyone's going to forget about it.
I won't.
I know you won't. But I'm saying, you know, like the Tolkien series, boom, boom, boom. It was like clockwork. Yeah. Even the new other stuff, it's like you start pushing it out past 9 months or so, or, you know, Tolkien was right out front. Hey, once a year, Christmas, yeah. We're putting it out. Boom.
Because yeah. They filmed them all kind of at the same time.
And they just had to do the cleanup. And it's like, oh, okay, I can handle that and have some other stuff in between. But if you're not a huge fan of it, people are not even going to be like, The story's not as well known.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they re-release the first one ahead of the second one to generate.
That would probably help. Because like Tolkien got away with it, I think a big reason is because so many people have read Tolkien.
Yeah.
You can have a year gap in there because it's people already know the story. They just want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Wow, we've been going long tonight. See what happens on movie night.
Yeah.
All right. We better call our quits.
Yeah, we all gotta take a bio break.
Exactly.
Yes.
Nice long one.
But it's great talking to you guys.
We're calling it a night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast on our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator. A civilized world.